What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Double M Show. You got Mr. Mike Nice in the building, man. How you doing, bro?
I'm just happy I got a haircut, because I wasn't ready to do this show without a cut.
Ah, I feel you, man. I wish I could say the same. You see me, I'm bundled up. Not only do I got the cap on, I got the hoodie on, too,
because
right now it's looking kind of crazy for you, boy. It's been a long weekend.
It's been a long weekend indeed. A lot of changes, moves been made, a lot of things going on, but you know we had to hold it down with this show right here.
Definitely. I mean, I'm not going to say too much, but people have left their mom's crib, man. That's a huge step in life.
It's another level. Another level up. When you take that step out of your folks' spot, and you can say, hey, mama, I made it. I'm on my own now.
I'm on my own. But living on your own, Mike, what has been a challenge for you?
That food you smell in the kitchen cooking.
Yeah.
When you maybe come home from work or something, you know, mama, pops, you know, my crib, my pops does a lot of cooking. So when I come through, and I'm coming through the back, coming up the porch, and I can smell my pops in the kitchen working up a storm, that's different. It smells a little different when we are now, you know. Smell a couple other things, but that cooking, man, no one cook like my pops does. I'm gonna definitely miss that for sure.
Huh? It says the connection is unstable. Please wait while we try reconnecting. So yeah, man, that's definitely a challenge. Not having you know, your folks, the smell of your folks' food in your nose and breathing it in.
It really is different, man.
But
it's something
that's, this is the step. Now you become the chef.
Oh, yeah. And stay tuned, because I'm telling you, I know you said it a couple weeks back, Marv.
We're going to get that on tape.
We're going to be cooking in the kitchen. Cooking with Mike Nice. You know, I will be cooking, and y'all will see me throwing it down in the kitchen.
You know, I'm a good judge.
Believe it,
judge. So I'm gonna test it out, y'all. I'm gonna let y'all know if Mike's telling the truth or not. But we got so much to talk about today. Back on the Double M Show, I am of course DJ Meez and Mr. Mike Nice. What is on the playlist today?
Today on the playlist, we are serving up to you a lot of Antonio Brown talk. You know, this guy Antonio Brown. It's been a year for him. A couple months, a year, whatever it is. He's been in the headlines nonstop. So, you know, we've talked about him on a couple different other shows that we do, but ain't nothing like Double M Media Talk. So we're going to definitely get into some Antonio Brown talk.
Here we can really dish shit out.
Yeah, we're going to really dive into some Antonio Brown talk for real. We also want to talk about Eli Manning, you know, playing for the New York Giants, I'm so sorry. And
Jets, don't wish that upon us.
around these parts in Boston, you know, we don't really talk too much about the Giants, but Eli Manning is no longer the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. And we're going to dive into who Eli Manning has been throughout his NFL career, what he's possibly meant to the Giants, and what do we feel possibly his legacy is. We'll talk about that a little bit. We also want to talk about Kanye West dropping a brand new album coming up shortly. I think it's coming out later on this month. I feel
I seen it coming in November.
I thought I saw September 27th.
Sheesh.
Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But either way, Kanye West has an album on the way. It's been a minute since we heard from Kanye, but we got some Yeezy on the way, so we're going to see what that's all about. We're going to discuss that a little bit. And, you know, we also want to talk a little bit about athletes in this current day and age with social media and how transactions are taking place and it going, you know, it coming out without really going directly to the athlete first. But we're going to dive into that.
Definitely.
We'll explain that a little bit more later on the show. But we definitely want to kick things off with Antonio Brown. And everything that's been going on with him.
AB, man. Where do we begin? So we already spoke about AB on this show prior to him even joining the New England Patriots. So we're not even going to talk about the whole Oakland things. You know, obviously, we all know what's been happening the past couple of weeks. You know, there's been allegations, some serious allegations against Antonio Brown, where you have a sexual assault civil case. And now recently, a couple of days ago, Sports Illustrated came out, and there's another assault on, there's another sexual assault case on him with a bunch of random and just crazy antics. One video that's been going viral today is him in visiting his doctor.
Yo.
And farting.
That video.
A couple times.
And I saw that video. I watched it today for the first time. You know, I've heard about it recently, but I finally came across the video of this guy, Antonio Brown. My first question is, he's having, I don't know why he's meeting with his doctor. I don't know what the appointment was. You know, that's not really specified. But my thing is, why is somebody recording him in the doctor's office? That was my first question before he even started farting in dude's face. Why is he being recorded?
That was a loud-ass fart. It's not no just, you know, them silent killers. This dude wanted to disrespect.
Nah.
You're not doing that to me.
Nah.
I'm punching you straight in the chest.
If I'm the doctor and he does that, like, I don't know if he was holding up to Antonio Brown. I'm dropping everything. I'm like, nah, bro. Nah, what the hell's going on here?
First time, it's like, all right, this dude is kind of messed up. The second time, you're getting soft, bro.
Yeah, it's an issue. That's not cool. You got a doctor here trying to perform whatever he's doing. You got a doctor trying to make sure he's taking care of your well-being. And you're standing there, and you, like you said, it wasn't no silent.
The ones I do sometimes on this show.
This dude Marby lighting it up here next to me. That's
woo-wee.
Crazy. That's crazy. It wasn't a light little piff outside of him. He let a good little and all he could turn to the duck said, "My fault, dog." With a smile on his face at that.
And then he did it again.
And then he did it a second time, and I think he said, "My fault again." And it's just like, yo, you're a grown-ass man meeting with your doctor, and, like, I understand, like, let's be honest, I understand there's some farts that, like, you make the wrong set, it just slips out.
It happens.
You don't do it on purpose. But it's like, Antonio Brown, for them two farts she let out, he's
yeah, feel like you gotta try to make a noise like that.
That's a forced fart, bro.
That was wild.
That's a forced fart.
That was wild. And I think there's a comment here saying, AB is like 14 years old in the head. That's exactly what it... That man is not right.
He comes across as a child. Childlike. You know how people used to be, you know, come at Michael Jackson like, oh, he's childlike.
Right.
Honestly, Antonio Brown don't seem too different in the sense of being childlike. I see his videos that he has, like, on social media, IG, and, like, the way he talks and comes across with the things he says, it just feels, in a sense, I don't know if I want to say immature, but, like, I think, like, our guy, you know, Sam was said 14 years, it's real childlike with some of the things, his mannerisms or something like that. I don't know, but he's twisted. The man's, what, 30... 7 years old, 31,
yeah,
32?
Like 30, 31, around that area. And just the more we get to know AB, the worse we're finding out about him. And everything that you read is he wasn't like that before. He wasn't.
That's the thing that has me twisted.
So it really got me thinking, Mike, you remember the first show we did about talking about AB? The first thing I said is, I'm not quite sure about his mental health.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I said.
Sure did.
There's something off. Like, it's gone beyond what is right and wrong. Like, he doesn't seem right. Like, this, I don't know what he's going through emotionally. Let's not talk about the serious allegations yet. Just his actions and things that he's done in the past 2 years. He's gone. There's something there that's missing.
Yeah, it's like you have a deck of cards, and the deck of cards, which is his brain or his mental health, a couple of cards is missing there. I don't know what it is, but a couple of those cards are missing. You know, some people always talk about, I'm seeing here in the comments, he has CTE from the Vontaze Burfict hit.
Oof.
And yeah, he got popped. He definitely got popped with that hit. But like you said, this, the stories like this about Antonio Brown, unless they were super duper covered up and hidden, stories like this weren't coming out while he was on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I don't know what's really shifted in his mind, in his head, in his personal life over the last couple of months, years, whatever. But it's like ever since he got out of the last year, whatever, when stuff really started popping off in Pittsburgh, and then he got out of Pittsburgh, went to Oakland, had a summer with Oakland, come to New, it's like something in this time span has not been right with him.
But then again, you know, you saw the jokes coming out when everything was going on in Oakland that Mike Tomlin deserves the Nobel Peace Prize for what he had to deal with. It goes back to Pittsburgh. That was his home. Like, they built who AB is. They built that man. He was a 6th-round pick. So, obviously, they took care of AB. They hid a lot of stuff from the media. They covered a lot of things. It's clear they had to cover a lot of things. You go to Oakland, they don't know you like that. You're just a new comedy. You know, you're just trying to fit into the team. Everything that pops up, they're not going to try to cover and hide and work. Even though you are a superstar, Gruden did the best he could.
Sure did.
There's no one that could have done a better job than Gruden.
Gruden talked a lot.
Yeah, Gruden talks a lot, and he tried to cover. Oh man, that video was great. I love that the video when he that they had the Nike video. It looked like Nike shot that right when Gruden was on the phone on the recording. But yeah, Gruden covered that up. You know, he tried to do the best he can with AB, and AB wasn't having it at all. And you know, obviously, you know what happened between him and the GM, Mike Mayock. Now he's a New England Patriot. Now he's on our team. Now we really got to focus on what this is. And we've done shows in the past talking about, is this a risk having AB? And at first, I'm like, what the hell's the risk? If he acts up, you cut him.
Yeah.
Never in our minds did we think sexual assault, rape, you know, these text messages coming out.
It's crazy to think about, like, the first girl came out and said, raped, assaulted. And then you got another girl who comes out, and the first girl, sorry, is trying to file, you know, lawsuit and whatnot with Antonio Brown. Then this next girl comes out, and I think what I read correctly, if I'm not mistaken, she's like, I don't even want a lawsuit or nothing against Antonio. Yeah. I just want to let it be known that this is what he's been doing and does.
Yeah, that came out in the Sports Illustrated article.
Like, and you don't know who to believe because, of course, Antonio Brown is denying everything that has transpired, that is being said about him. Then, you know, the social media, those videos on IG come out with Antonio Brown chilling with this girl like they're best friends and they're together. Then you got another girl who comes out and just said, I don't even want to, you know, file charges on Antonio Brown. I just want to put the information. You don't know what to believe in this whole situation. But the fact that Antonio Brown has all this stuff twisting around him, it's just not a good look on top of not another good look on top of not another good look.
And at what point do you force the NFL in the Patriots' hand? You know, even if these allegations are not true, like, I won't be surprised if I wake up the next day and someone else comes out and says, oh man, you didn't know AB did this, did that? Does this happen because of his character? The way he's been acting off the field, the way he's been turning up and everything, now's the perfect time to attack AD. If he was someone who was quiet, mild-mannered, would all of these allegations start piling up out of nowhere?
No. I mean, I don't think so.
And not saying the two have to do with each other.
If you're a quiet man about your business, if he's a quiet man about his business, why would, and if he's not doing anything, this stuff wouldn't pop up. And I mean, even if it did, it's really pushed to the light because of everything else that's going around.
Right.
Not saying that sexual assault and rape is not a big deal and should just be brushed to the side and brushed under the rug. But obviously, because of everything else that Antonio Brown is doing in the media, it's definitely put into the light even more. So it just makes it, like I said, not a good look on him. And it makes me feel like, and this is not only with Antonio Brown, not to really change the topic a little bit, but like, obviously the NFL is going to wait till the courts come to whatever conclusion and figure out something.
That's not that quite, it's not that quite obvious. The NFL can, they can do whatever they feel.
They can, they have the power to, but they won't because they want to wait to see what the judicial system does.
We hope they do.
So my thing is, and again, this is another situation in the NFL where there's some kind of assault or something going on. While there's a pending case possibly out against a player, should the NFL continue what they're doing and say, hey, let's just wait to see what the courts say? Or should the NFL get out in front of it and say, until we figure out what the courts say, this player is suspended? I personally feel like that's a route maybe they should consider taking. Obviously, when Antonio Brown is on the Patriots, I'm like, man, I want Antonio Brown on the right field. But like at the same time, you have these players who possibly have committed some kind of crime, and until the courts can go through whatever they need to do to figure out if it's true or not and find this player guilty or not guilty, the NFL says, well, until we hear that from the courts, this player is good to go. Should the NFL maybe change that stance and say, hey, it doesn't matter what's being said or not, until we get a definite answer from the courts, this player is no longer allowed to suit up and play on the NFL team?
Excuse me. I hear what you're saying, Mike, and NFL has put themselves in this situation because of how many times they have fumbled all of these situations when it comes to sexual assault, rape, domestic violence, yep, and so forth. But what makes this you know, situation peculiar is this is not a criminal case. This is a civil case. This is about money. So where does the NFL go from there? I believe it was today that they met with the woman, the first woman who's come out about the sexual assault. Now, obviously, they're going to meet with AB, and then from there, they're going to put their decision. They can put AB on the exempt list, mm-hmm, and he'll still be getting paid because he's not officially suspended. He's on, like,
paid leave,
I guess. You could say it like that. So that's a route they can do. Or they can wait, like you said, for the judicial system. Everyone who's watching right now, live, Double M, Mike Nice, DJ Meese, let us know what you think the NFL / the Patriots should do about this situation. But it's weird because just because it's not a criminal case, I feel like the NFL needs to see what happens and
wait it out and see. So if this was a criminal case,
right away, take
him off the field.
Yeah, especially if there's proof. And it's like this woman, this happened in 2017 when this happened. It coming out now, it's just, there's a lot of gaps. Not saying it's not true that it is true, it's just the timing is very, it's perfect timing for a situation like this.
And again, from what I've heard and read about the female in the first case, she's like about to get married married.
She just got married.
And like she's trying to open a gym or something like that, if I'm correct. So like you're saying over here, the timing, if she has the opportunity to get a couple $1 million out of Antonio Brown, why the hell not? In her case, she trying to possibly get money. Not saying that it's true or not true. I don't know. But either if it's true or not true, she's trying to get money from Antonio Brown.
And what I've read also is AB was close to, you know, having a settlement with her until that number got bumped up to $2 million. And he was like, nah, that is not happening at all. And then, you know, this is where we've come to see. And we've come to see a lot in the past couple years that, you know, a lot of players, especially since the Me Too movement has really risen, they've settled. They've done a lot of settlements behind doors, behind closed. Like, you remember, Mike, Avery Bradley found himself in a situation
sheesh,
like this.
I didn't remember that.
And, you know, like, players were getting caught up a lot in whatever situation it may be, and it was just settlements that they took, and it just got brushed away, and no one talked about it. But when you don't settle, then it gets it gets taken to the higher ups, and then we find out about these situations.
So one comment here from Kayla is saying, I feel like once an accusation is made, his name is tarnished.
Tarnished, absolutely.
So the NFL would probably need to take that into consideration. So I think what she's trying to say is similar to what I was saying. No matter who you are, if it drops in the news that you're being accused for sexual abuse or sexual assault or rape, no matter what, the accusation that is made, your name is thrown in the mud regardless. It doesn't matter who it is. Tom Brady, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, the biggest stars out there. Once it's said that, the police are looking into a case of possible rape by so-and-so, your name from that moment is like, damn. Like Robert Kraft, for example. Robert Kraft was
angel.
No one has had nothing bad to say about Robert Kraft, just the owner of the Patriots, a team that just keeps winning. All of a sudden, it comes out that this dude's caught up in going to massage parlors, getting some extra other stuff in the back room from the workers. So now people have to say, "Die." Robert Kraft is possibly, or when it came, was like soliciting prostitution a little bit in a sense. Either way, once the news comes out,
well, that's what you're forever.
You're kind of looked at as like, well, that now that's on their name. Like, it's tough. And like she said, maybe the NFL has to take that into consideration in terms of things being said.
Obviously, they got to take it into consideration, but the NFL also needs to be very careful on how they hand out their punishments. You know, when they fumbled, it's because they've had the proof right there in their face, mm-hmm. and they haven't handled it right, whether it was minimal suspension or no suspension at all. Here's a situation where you don't have all the details yet.
Okay.
When you have the details, NFL has messed up. I said this on Roundtable. It comes out that anything of this is true about the sexual assault, not only should AB be suspended, but he should never see a football field ever again. Mm. I don't want him seeing a field ever again. That's something that is, you know, I don't mess with whatsoever. Yeah. However, you don't have the details. Say they put him in the exempt list, right? This is a civil case. They could take up, hopefully you want it to go quicker, but it could take up a year. It could take 2 years. You're going to take a player away from 2 years from the NFL without knowing what's happening?
So according to our guy, Dirk, he says, you can't go on the commissioner's list, exempt list, unless you charged criminally or the commissioner has proof a crime has been committed.
Right, that's why they're meeting first. They're meeting and getting all the information at the
moment. Yeah, I mean, I guess the NFL is doing what they feel is right in terms of...
As they should.
As, you know, gathering as much information as possible. Sometimes I do feel like, depending on what the allegation is, like, depending on what the allegation is and what the person being accused of, the NFL, I said, and I've said this before on the show, sometimes I think need to try to jump out ahead of waiting for the courts to make a decision. The player is under your organization, your company in a sense. Don't wait for something else to be done. If you can make a decision on, hey, until we find out what's going to happen with you, you're not going to be a part of what we're doing here. I think that should be the case sometimes, depending on the situation. Another comment coming in from Sam is saying, what's really sad about this whole situation is if it comes out that she's lying and she just trying to make money off of Antonio Brown, it's going to start to make people doubt real victims even more.
And we've seen situations like this happen. And that's what makes it so scary and so unfortunate. And, you know, AB has not made things easy on
him. Nope.
You know, whether it's his off-field actions or not. And we can't say just because he's an asshole off the field he would have done this. It's not right, but that's what happened.
That's what's really sad.
And I bring this up all the time, but this is AB's a horrible example for what it is to be a black athlete in this world. You are a black athlete. You're acting up. then you get put into a situation, whether or not, you know, he had a sexual assault or rape. We saw the text messages he sent. Yeah. He sent to the woman. Like that right there shows what kind of person you are to begin with. He's not a good person. I'll say it right now. I don't care what he does with the Patriots. He can have 20 to 25 touchdowns. He's not a good person. Like he's just an asshole. Now, you put yourselves in all these situations as a black man. This is what happens. This is a pitfall.
It's a double whammy because, you know, it's already sometimes, you know, people have thoughts and feelings already built up in their mind about, you know, black athletes sometimes. But then you pile on top of that your personality and how you are perceived. The text messages, for example. The way you act off the field, different things that you may do, like it's not a good look. It's tough right now for Antonio Brown. Like you said, you know, before, if this is found to be true in any way, shape, or form that Antonio Brown did any of this stuff, he should never play again. There's no type of suspension that will make up for what he possibly could be found guilty of.
And you know, we believe that he should never see the field again if this were to be true. But he gets suspended and another team would pick him up because of his talent. Yeah. Talent weighs over everything in this sport. We've seen Ray Rice. End of his career, what he did, they let him go. They never got a job again. Kareem Hunt got picked up 2 seconds after.
Yeah.
So it's all about talent and what can you do for my team. You know, Patriots, they didn't know about this sexual assault. So I still believe, I would like to believe, if they had any idea about this, they would have not brought him in. Patriots have had their fair share of horrific things happen to this team, a la Aaron Hernandez. And I don't think this is something that they wanted to be tied with again. But it happens to be the case, and now they got a safe face. What they do from here moving on, who knows?
I think they just have to, again, they're in a situation right now where they just have to ride it out. Like, the Patriots are going to wait for the NFL to make a decision before they do anything. Unless he's really disrupting things. I have a feeling that since Antonio Brown has been a Patriot, in terms of the Patriots organization and the locker room, I feel like he's trying to be as much of a saint as possible. He's not trying to ruffle any feathers over there. Because he's in a pretty damn good situation. I think he's crazy, in a sense, and he's an asshole, but I think he somewhat knows he's in a good situation, so he's trying to probably walk a fine line with the Patriots. So unless he's doing something within the Patriots organization to really ruffle feathers or disturb the locker room, they won't waste time in getting his ass out of town.
I have no worries about AB the player in the New England Patriots. Because the Patriots foundation is so strong, you already have the leaders there. They're not gonna take no BS from Antonio Brown whatsoever. There's no superstars. I mean, there's stars, but there's no one that gets put above anybody else. We hear all the stories about how Tom Brady gets treated in that locker room. So they have a foundation set. AB's gonna have to follow in line.
So a comment here saying, I guess, directed at you and I, Marv, says, who are we to judge the guy? Shut up. Watch the game. Everybody thinks they're experts in law.
Who said that?
I can't even... I don't know. But I don't understand what we're saying that makes us feel like we're experts in law. I think all we're necessarily saying is if he's found guilty of what he's being accused of, he shouldn't be able to play. I'll watch the game. But if he's found guilty of what he's done, I'll watch the game. And I don't want to see Antonio Brown a part of the game.
Called AB an asshole. I stand by that. I mean, everything that he's done has been put out there. It's not things I'm hearing. I've seen it. I've seen what he's done. I've seen him record his coach and put it on a commercial. I've seen him act up. I've seen him act crazy. I've seen the text messages. That's who I am to judge. This is my show. Double F. This is what we do.
I don't feel I'm an expert in law. I don't know if you think you're an expert in law, but I tell you this again. If he's found guilty of these accusations, he shouldn't play football.
That's it.
Point blank simple. Let's keep it moving. You know, still some football talk we want to get to. And I definitely want to talk about, we definitely want to talk about Eli Manning.
This is my favorite topic we've ever
done. Eli Manning. The same Eli Manning who's a two-time Super Bowl champion. And he defeated the New England Patriots to earn his two Super Bowl rings. But sometimes if you hear about a quarterback, you know, two-time Super Bowl champion, you know, to find out you get benched 2 weeks into the season, you have to really suck. And the thing is, he didn't just start to suck this year. It's been a couple years now. Like, yeah, I can't even say Eli hasn't been the same. Eli just sucks even more. Because he's never been necessarily an elite quarterback. Them championship teams that he had against the Patriots, those are some very good defensive teams that were there for the New York Giants. He had a couple weapons in there, yeah. But those teams defensively were really good. Eli Manning now has been benched. What's his name? Daniel Jones, I believe.
Daniel Jones.
Drafted in the sixth pick for the New York Giants, because the New York Giants had it in their mind, too, that, yeah, Eli Manning ain't going to be the guy much longer. But the news came out today for week 3 and possibly the foreseeable future. Excuse me. Daniel Jones will be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants, and Eli Manning is to the bench.
Eli Manning. Eli mother effing Manning. This feels good to see him get benched. I mean, what has he done to be a Hall of Famer? You know, everyone's saying he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Fame. The two Super Bowl rings. The wins against the New England Patriots. I get it.
He beat the high and mighty New England Patriots, man.
And he beat the undefeated team. That's a feat. That is a feat. But was it Eli that held the Patriots to 14 points? Was it 14 or 17? I take that game out of my memory. If y'all remember, good for y'all. Was it Eli that stopped them from scoring? Or was it the Giants' defense?
Defense is pretty damn good, man.
Giants' defense. Eli's record is 116 wins. 116 losses. I'll say it one more time. 116 wins, 116 losses.
Excuse me while I look up some highlights, some career accolades for Eli Manning. Because is he really going to live off of the fact that he has two Super Bowl championships?
Yes, he is.
The thing is,
which is unfortunate for Eli, how is Eli going to get... How is he going to be remembered? Because his last 4, maybe 5 years has been atrocious. Odell said it himself. People were watching the Giants because of Odell. Odell made Eli relevant. Otherwise, it would have been... I think if Eli didn't have Odell, this would have happened maybe 2 years ago. Maybe 3 years ago. Odell really helped Eli stay afloat for the past couple years. And Odell gone, they said, okay, hold on here. 2 games, we gotta put our guy Chase Daniels in. And it's over for Eli.
So let's be sure and clear. You're saying, are we in agreement, or do we believe he's going to the Hall of Fame?
He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I don't agree he should be a first ballot, okay, but he's going to the Hall of Fame.
So let me know if these are first ballot worthy, you know, career highlights and awards.
Okay.
2-time Super Bowl champion. I forgot that not only is he 2-time Super Bowl champion, but he won the Super Bowl MVP in both of those games. Yeah. I didn't remember that. 4-time Pro Bowler. I don't know how much this matters. I mean, I guess it matters. He's the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year in 2016. Statistics-wise... He has a career completion percentage of 60%. And his passer rating is 84.1. He's thrown 362 touchdowns to 241 interceptions. I mean, he got some college awards here. If
it wasn't for the Super Bowl rings.
Guy made the 4 Pro Bowl 4 times.
If it wasn't for the Super Bowl rings. Eli wouldn't be a Hall of Fame. But at the end of the day, in the playoffs, I'm not going to be ignorant. In the playoffs, during those years, Eli's game rised. He had clutch moments. We know the clutch moment he had in 2007 to tie. You know, we know what he did with Manningham in 2010, that clutch throw to him as well. So Eli's had clutch moments in the playoffs. He has risen. So if we're gonna, are we gonna give it to him off of those 2 years? Fine, I understand. But for the most part, Eli has been average to below average his whole career. So here's my argument. This is why I really want to talk Eli, Mike.
All right, let's hear it.
Julian Edelman. His season stats aren't great. He's an average wide receiver season stats. You know, slot receiver, he gets a lot of receptions. We know what he does here in New England.
Yeah.
But when you talk about his playoff numbers, nobody touches Julian Edelman's playoff numbers other than Jerry Rice.
Mm-hmm.
And now you add a Super Bowl MVP to Julian Edelman's case. Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer if Eli's in the Hall of Fame. If Eli, when Eli makes it to the Hall of Fame, he opens the floodgates. He opens the floodgates, meaning...
A lot of dummies to get in?
Not dummies. But if he opens it up to the saying, hey, if you are average in the season, and I'm not calling Julian Edelman average, I'm just saying his numbers compared to the elites are average during the season. If you are average during the season, but you really perform in the playoffs where it really matters, like Eli did those 2 years, you're a Hall of Famer. Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer.
Julian Edelman is to the Hall of Fame.
He's to the Hall of Fame without a question. I don't even want to hear no backlash to it. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. If you're going to put Eli in there,
you open the floodgates.
Edelman's in there automatically. Edelman can retire right now when he's in there. You know, it's just, I don't know. Two Super Bowl rings is really what's going to put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame. I guess that's what it is. I guess that's what all it takes. I guess that's all it takes. Because in all honesty, like you said, he's been pretty damn bad. He hasn't been an elite quarterback. I don't think, if there are those years he made the Pro Bowl and stuff, I think it may be tough to say he's a top 10 quarterback in the league. I think it's tough. I think I could possibly name, in his best year, I don't even know if he was top 10.
In his best year, you could put him top 10.
I don't know. Now, if I have to really sit here and do the stats, the research and pull up the stats, I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't know. Because I never really looked at Eli like, damn. Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Eli. Come on, think about it. You think about the best quarterbacks in the league over the last couple of seasons. Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Eli. Nah, it don't even sound right. His name doesn't even sound like it belongs with the rest of them dudes. It just doesn't seem right because it doesn't feel like, it doesn't look like he is an elite quarterback. He has two Super Bowl rings.
You could have
probably took a lot of dummy quarterbacks in that Super Bowl and just say, hey, throw the ball. And we all know that Will Tide catch, a lot of luck. The Manningham, like, I don't know, man. Eli being a Hall of Fame. That's just what it boils down to. He has one more than his brother Peyton. And we all know Peyton Manning was light years better than Eli Manning.
He doesn't have one more than Peyton. Peyton has two.
Oh, Peyton does have two. Broncos and Colts. I'm so sorry. They both have two. Yeah.
Yeah, but you could never put Peyton and Eli.
They're not on the same level.
In the same club. Eli, was he a small quarterback? Yeah, he was a small quarterback. But elite, you could have never put Eli in an elite level. He's two-time Super Bowl MVP.
So, our guy Dirk here has some stats. Thanks, shout out to Dirk with the stats here. According to him, he says, Eli has been one and done in the playoffs only besides the 2 years, and those 2 years are when he won the Super Bowl. Other than that, he's been 0-4 in the playoffs.
Hey, man, numbers don't lie. But he's going to get into, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and that's okay. That's all right. All I'm saying is, once he does, the floodgates will open. Because now you got to start talking about, there's guys in his class that have better numbers than Eli. Phillip Rivers has better numbers than Eli.
Sure does.
What is going to become of Phillip Rivers when he retires?
Sure does have better numbers than Phillip. I mean, from Eli, Phillip Rivers. Let's see guys in this class that should definitely be. Think Larry Fitzgerald, automatic. Phillip Rivers. If Eli's going to get in,
Phillip Rivers is going to have. He's going to make a conversation for it.
Better numbers. Ben Roethlisberger's automatic.
Obviously automatic.
Let's see here. Any other quarterbacks?
So between Big Ben, Phillip Rivers, and Eli, who you picking? Order them.
Like best to worst?
Yes.
Oh. Big Ben, Phillip, Eli.
Big Ben, Phillip, Eli. Yes, I agree. Right there.
Big Ben, Phillip, Eli. Out of that class, let me see if there was any other quarterbacks taken. Never mind. These quarterbacks are trash.
That's it, bro. That was. I gave you the big three. You don't need to look no further.
JP Lawson.
Let's keep
it. Matt Schaub had a decent couple years.
All right, let me go to the comments here. Is Wes Welker a Hall of Famer?
No. Wes Welker's not a Hall of Famer.
Wes Welker's not a Hall of Famer.
The thing is, Wes Welker could be a Hall of Famer if he had a ring.
He transcended the slot receiver position, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
One ring could have put him in, I feel like.
Hall of Famer.
Maybe not first ballot. One ring and the stats that Wes Welker put up.
If Wes Welker got a ring in 2007.
That whole team in the Hall of Fame, man.
And it's not to change too much gears, get away from Eli, but it brings up a conversation. Like you said, that whole team should be there. When Rodney Harrison, when he got his, you know, Hall of Fame, Patriots Hall of Fame, he brought up how, you know, a lot of players in that Patriots team should be Hall of Famers, but because they were in the Patriots system, they're not looked at as individuals.
No, they looked at the Patriots juggernaut team.
And that's unfortunate. Instead of looking at, you know, as players, as individuals. And even like this past couple weeks, I'm about to go on a little rant, I'm sorry. But these past couple weeks, you know, reporters, announcers, everything, these Patriots teams, they don't got superstars on the defensive field, but together they're smart. Or they have the right play calls. Like, give these players their credit. Give these players their individual credit. Adam Butler had a hell of a game last week against the Miami Dolphins. But it's the system that made Adam Butler do it. Jamie Collins had a pick six and an interception. But we're going to talk about how he's changed within the system. Like, give the individuals their credit with that. I feel like they only do that with the Patriots.
The only person that stands out really is individuals doing great things. Brady, obviously. Stephon Gilmore's really stepped up.
But they don't even talk about Gilmore like that. They say, Patriots don't have any superstars on the defensive. Stephon Gilmore's a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of the league, at least the players, believe he's the top quarterback in the league. I mean, I think that's just what it is in terms of what the Patriots have been over the years. You know, you think of Patriots, you don't really think of, well, that one play right there, my goodness, he was good, but that Patriots dynasty, it's tough to be separated from, you know, it's just tough to really take one player out and separate them from what the Patriots have built up over the years. It's tough. Only person that's really done that is Brady. You know, we know, if you're a Patriots fan, you know how great players over the years have been for the team, but I think outside of the New England Patriots, you know, bubble, you just mainly see, wow, this Patriots team has just been dominant. You know, not really one guy stepping up and really leading the team. Like, it's not one guy leading the charge, but them collectively has been a dominant force. That's just, I mean, I can't even say it's unfortunate. It's tough to say the word unfortunate. It's just what it is.
It's not unfortunate, but individually, you want your respect. And then also when the contract comes up, it's like, yo, this is what I've done. And other coaches and teams look at you like, yeah, but you did that because you were a Patriot.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how it is. If you're a New England Patriots player and you've been a part of this dynasty since 2001, that's just what it is. But Marv, let's switch gears a little bit here. I know there's another topic we definitely wanted to talk about, and I definitely want to hear from not only you, but all of you watching as well. Kanye West.
Yes, sir.
Kanye West is dropping an album fairly soon, and it's going by the title
Jesus is King.
Jesus is King. Now, when you hear that title, I think a lot of people probably think, is he dropping a gospel album? But who knows what to expect? I hear that, and I'm thinking in my mind, oh, Kanye think he's the next Kirk Franklin. This is that video clip that came out, the one I showed you the other day. Kanye leading a choir, singing a remix to Pony by Genuine, but it's
So Anxious.
So Anxious, sorry. So Anxious. Remix is So Anxious, but it's praise and worship. In a church, I believe they're at. So I don't know what Kanye's going right now with his career, what he's feeling like, but his next project is an album called Jesus is King. And it's going to be highly anticipated because it's Kanye West.
Yeah, I mean, so the past year, you know, a lot of reports and interviews I've been watching, you know, people have said, you know, Kanye's really, you know, after the tumultuous year he had last year, you know, when he was going crazy and he brought up mental health and everything like that, a lot of people have said Kanye has found God. You know, he's gone back reading the Bible. He's found God and everything. And then for the past several months, if I don't know if you guys have been following, he's been having these Sunday services. And they're not church per se, but it's a time where he gets people together in LA mostly. And he leads these amazing choirs. Like, you saw the snippet of it of So Anxious. But he does it. Go on YouTube and just write Sunday service. Sometimes I just put it on and leave it in the background. He does this for like 2 hours where he's creating beats and putting gospel and house music and hip-hop all together in one. And it sounds beautiful. It's ridiculous how he sounds, and he gets people together. They're dancing, they're joyous, they love. It's not really church per se where he's preaching a gospel or anything like that. At first he was really remixing his own songs like Jesus Walks and things like that, and he was just really, you know, making it a little more funky, a little more alive for people to really get together and dance and have fun to it. So if it's anything like that on Jesus is King, I'm all for it. You know, because you can see the transition. Ye went from what? Jesus calling himself God to now praising the Lord. And that's a huge transition. And it just shows you, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in life. You can always, there's always change. There's always growth. So I'm excited for it because Ye was Ye. And I didn't really like Ye.
I ain't gonna hold you. The last 3-4 albums from Kanye, in my personal opinion, suck. Late Registration, no, College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation. I think that's the one.
A lot of people like that. I can't say that. My Dark Twisted Fantasy is my favorite Kanye.
Dark Twisted Fantasies, that's the one with all of the lights and all of that?
Yeah, that's my
favorite. It went those three.
I like 808s and Heartbreaks.
808 and Heartbreaks and My Dark and Twisted Fantasy.
So it went 808 and Heartbreak. After that, it went My Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Those five. College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation, 808, Heartbreaks, My Dark and Twisted. Those five. Definitely the first three was my top three Kanye albums as of right now. But those next two, it was like, okay, Kanye's shifting a little bit, but I still, you know, bump with those. Then, what was the next one he dropped after that? I don't even remember.
After My Dark Twisted?
I don't remember. The reason why I don't remember is because I didn't really care for them.
After My Dark Twisted Fantasy, it was Yeezus in 2013.
Then he had something called Pablo.
Pablo was great. Nah. I will take no slander on Pablo.
I'm good.
Pablo was an amazing album. That was probably one of the best hip hop albums that came out that year in 2015.
So, yeah. After Dark and Twisted Fantasy, Yeezus.
Yes.
In 2013, Life of Pablo, 16, Ye in 18.
Ye was bad. Pablo, I love Pablo. Pablo's good. And if Pablo has a song, Ultra Light Beam, probably one of the best songs on the album with Chance the Rapper in it, and that's what I'm guessing what Jesus is King is going to sound like. And if it sounds anything like Ultra Light Beam, I'm all for it. If it sounds like Ye, nay.
It sounds like yay, nay. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, them first three albums is like, yeah. Then the next two, 808 Heartbreak, Mark Darkest Man, eh. But after that, I'm like, yo, what happened to this dude? The same way I feel about Lil Wayne is the same way I feel about Kanye. Like, yo, what happened to this dude? And whether it's mental health and things going on in his life, I don't know, but their sound, their vibe changed over the course of their career. I know some guys try to evolve, they try to sound different. People say that about Kendrick Lamar a little bit, but his vibe and sound is a lot different from when he first came out. People try to evolve and change a little bit over time, whether it's for the better or the worse, I don't know. I tell you what, for Kanye, it was for the worse, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
And a lot of people share that. A lot of people share the, you know, the late registration, college dropout, graduation. Those are everybody's top. You know, when they talk about, oh, we missed the old Kanye.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand. You don't see artists just drop the same type of albums consistently. You know, artists gotta move on and they gotta do something different, otherwise you're gonna lose your fan base, or you won't grow as much. So, you know, Ye's always expanded. Some have hit, some haven't. Like Yeezus did not hit, but there's some songs there when I'm in the gym I still be bumping. It's just expanding sounds that he's doing. Then, you know, his personal life, Ye's been all over the place. He's been up and down. There's been things that I just wish we just put that man in a closet and just have him just not talk at all. And then there's times where he's doing things like Sunday services. You're like, all right, this is really dope. But yeah, he's all over the place. I listen to Jesus is King. It doesn't have the same feel of, oh man, Kanye's got an album dropping now. I can't wait. It's not something. If it drops at midnight, I'm going to stay up to midnight to listen to it. I'll listen to it, and I hope it's going to be good, but it doesn't have that same feeling to me as before. Like, wow, I can't wait for this Kanye album to drop.
I'll tell you this. Give me Kanye West. Give me some old Kanye. And if he's dropping a Jesus is King album, this little old Kanye mixed with some Kirk Franklin, that's the vibe he's trying to get at, maybe he on something. Kirk Franklin got some albums that he's dropped, some gospel albums, and I'm assuming this album probably a little bit gospel. Give me a little bit old Kanye, mix some good Kirk Franklin, and see if you can mix that together in a pot, and if that's what it's gonna possibly be, I'ma listen. I'm interested. Kanye, you have my attention. Because if Sunday service songs like that, if it's gonna be something similar along those lines, you definitely have my attention for sure.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting where he goes with it. Mike, listen to Ultra Light Beam with Future and Chance the Rapper. You guys, if you haven't listened to it, listen to Ultra Light Beam. That song is amazing.
And it's not old Kanye.
It's not old Kanye, but it's trust me, that song goes crazy. And if it's gonna be like that, I'm all for it. I really don't know what to expect. We know Kanye the producer. He kills it. Even last year when he was going through whatever he was going through, he produced some heat. He was producing some major heat. So let's hope it's like that. I hope it's not the last thing he dropped with Lil Pump. That song Bump in the Club. I ain't trying to hit.
What's
that.
Up? What's up?
It's not your freaking gun.
I love it. Yeah. I'ma say I like the the last thing I listened from Kanye, honestly, was that I think a mixtape he dropped with Kid Cudi.
Kissy Ghost is cool. It's a cool thing to vibe out to. Drive. I like Kid Cudi. I like it. Those two together, they make good music. It was cool. It's not
Kissy Ghost. Yep.
It's not I need to listen to it all the time. But it's good. It's a good thing to vibe to.
Yeah, man, we just have to wait and see what Kanye will produce next, you know?
Anything in the comments?
Let's see what we have here. I think Kayla said you can definitely see his mental health fluctuate through his music. Yeah, guy was riding the wave in his personal life, and you know, artists put sometimes take their personal life and release it through their artistry, you know? And that's probably what he was doing. If that what led to, in my opinion, some sucky albums that he dropped, sure, I guess. But yeah, your boy, you know, Frankie says Ultra Beam is definitely amazing. I'ma listen to it. I'ma definitely take a minute and listen to Ultra Beam and see what it's all about. I'm a fan of Chance the Rapper, so I definitely wanna peep that. But yeah, man. Here comes Sam saying, if the album is a track full of Sunday service joints, I'm all for it. Yeah. I will never listen to So Anxious the Same ever again. So Anxious is a busy song.
Yeah, I feel like...
The first time I heard it, I was kind of pissed. I'm like, nah, keep this in church. Keep this separate. Because it's a busy song that you put...
So Anchored.
But then you listen to it again and it's... Shout out to the people who were singing in the crowd, because they killed it. The vocals were amazing, but it's a dope remix.
It's a dope remix. I just don't want to hear So Anxious no more. Like seriously, I hear that song in the wrong environment. I hear that song in the wrong environment. It might kill my vibe.
I hate you, Mark. So actually, I need to come up with my thoughts. I don't know. But it was a great mix. Now, if they dropped a full version of that So Anchored,
oh man,
I'll rock with that. And so I can't have two of them on the same.
Nah.
You know, shuffle sometimes and put a song back to back. And
shuffle me trying to play my games.
Ah, man. Yeah. But... like I said, it remains to be seen. We're all going to be waiting to see that Kanye album drop. So we'll stay tuned for sure. But any final thoughts, Marv, on this show, episode 29 of Double M? Final thoughts before we hit the road, Jack.
29 is my favorite number. Mm-hmm. So it feels good that we've made it to episode 29 on Double M. You know, today, I didn't have the webcam, so I had to use my laptop. So if people are watching live stream, you see me doing this. It's because, you know, I can't really see. Sam said my shuffle's legendary. Shout out to you, Sam. And shout out to Sam Timber.
Sam Timber.
New
Samshin.
New Samshin part two.
New Samshire.
New Samshire.
And now we have Sam Timber. The first one was... New Samshin.
Yeah, first one was New Samshin.
Second one was
New Samshin.
New Samshin. Now we have
Sam Timber.
Sam Timber. Hey man, shout out to our boy
Sam. The big 3-0. That's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. 3-0, man. I pray I can live to 30 as well.
Amen to that. Amen to that for sure. Shout out to anybody else celebrating a birthday. What is Virgo season?
My dog, you think I know about
the Virgo? Y'all Capricorn, Virgo? No, I don't want to disrespect them. Let me shut up.
You think I know about that stuff?
I don't know. All I know is I'm a Taurus.
I tell people my son, I get learned.
We gonna save that.
I say I'm Aquarius, I get learned.
You're a Taurus? Oh, you're one of those. What the hell? Bro. My fault. My parents wanted, you know, I can't. Like, I'm sorry. But anyways, with that being said, that's a good topic to come up for another show. Close it out, Marv, as we wrap up the evening, man.
This is the Double M Show, where urban culture and sports collide. We do this every Tuesday night. Every Tuesday, we will be here live. You got Mr. Mike Nice.
Your boy.
You got DJ Meeves. Follow us. You know, on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. We're on iHeartRadio app as well. You know, we also do the Patriots post game after every Patriots game on the CLNS Network. We also do the Patriots Roundtable on Mondays as well, just to wrap up what's going on. So we're here. We are working. Follow the movement. We appreciate everyone that commented, good, bad, and the ugly. Appreciate y'all, and have a good night.